You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Well, it's good to be here again. And last Sunday, Jackie and I were in Uganda. We had a great time with goats and chickens and bunches of bananas, which were all part of their offering on that particular Sunday. They came and expressed their thankfulness to the Lord, and then we had food afterwards. But one of the other highlights was a G12 conference for pastors, just introducing the vision there, and maybe 40 or 50 pastors from Kampala joined us. As some of you know, Pastor Bert from South Africa, his brother was helping lead that too, so that was great, and we had a good time of fellowship there. So it's good to be back though, home again. So we're continuing our series looking at Ephesians, and having called this title today The Power of Faith and Love, I was thinking it could really have been just faith, hope and love. Faith, hope and love, that little three trilogy which Paul mentions. That's what this talk is going to be about this morning, or this afternoon now. No, it's not, still morning. So we're taking a look at his letter again. And a few weeks ago, we saw that the church in Ephesus was started by Paul, and the impact which had on Ephesus and the surrounding area. We saw that there was a guy called Apollos who was key in their development, a great Bible teacher. But it seemed he lacked something, an important element. The power of the Holy Spirit was missing in his life. And so as Paul comes across disciples of Apollos, he notices that lack. Maybe well taught, maybe able to expound scripture, but where's the life? Where's the passion? Where's the power of the Holy Spirit to bring transformation to their own lives and the city? So Paul prays. You can read it in Acts 19, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. And a little while later, we see what an impact 12 men filled with the Holy Spirit have on this pagan city of Ephesus. Revival and transformation broke through. And I just want to remind us that is our goal too. Not just good church with good Bible teaching and great worship. Not even the forming of groups of 12 disciples and leaders. But the goal has to be the same goal that Jesus had, to see city transformation. To see the kingdom of heaven breaking in. Lives changed and set free from the past, giving witness to the power of God. Would you agree with me? See, God's vision hasn't changed. It's the nations of the world. It's all peoples. John read us last week, well, this is from the message, but from verse 10. You know, the vision is that everything would be brought together and summed up in him, in Jesus. Everything, in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. What an incredible vision. That's our vision too, as we co-work with Jesus. So John spoke last week on the bulk of the first chapter and reminding us of the incredible grace and favor and love that God has poured out on his people. So I'm going to pick it up from verse 15, and we're going to read from here. So ever since, Paul says, I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you. Two things which stood out to this church, out in this church, to Paul: their strong faith in God and their love for each other. You see, it's interesting that Paul talks about first hearing of their strong faith. But as I've just reminded you, he was instrumental in planting the church in Ephesus. So it's a strange phrase, you know, I've heard of your strong faith. Maybe it was that the church had grown so rapidly The few people there at the now who knew Paul at the beginning. And so he's reminding them. Or maybe, just maybe, he'd seen the start of the church. He'd seen the revival. He'd seen the transformation. And we read about the persecutions and the hardships and the suffering which they faced. Because whenever there's the life of God breaking out in that way, there's always going to be a backlash. And Paul's looking back and he's saying, he's amazed that their faith held strong through those hardships, through all those difficulties. Either way, their faith in the Lord is a beautiful expression of their salvation. And Paul can't help stop thanking God for them. So strong faith, it's a mark of spiritual maturity. We read elsewhere, Paul's goal was to present every believer in Christ mature. And that needs to be our goal too. That's why consolidation, we call it, and discipleship are so important. Winning is just the first step. We have people here on Sundays that acknowledge they'd like to invite Jesus into their heart. Everything changes spiritually. But then there's that process of consolidating, strengthening, helping them walk in this new life which they've embraced, and to become a disciple of Jesus. So the new believer needs nurture, needs care and care, and so their faith is established and becomes strong. You see, strong faith's not based on circumstances. It's not based on emotions. It's based on the truth of God's word. It's strong faith in Jesus. Why do we encourage everybody in the church to read their Bible daily? Well, this is one of the reasons, so that we understand what the Bible has to say about our salvation, so that our faith can be strong in Him. We don't just read the Bible to tick a box and to send our little WhatsApp to our cell leader and say, I've done it today. No, it's to be challenged. It's to change. It's so that the Bible affects our decisions and our perspectives, so they become formed by the Word of God. The stronger our faith in Him, the greater our witness, and the more like Jesus we become. Now, you don't know how strong your faith is until it's tested. The church at Ephesus was tested, and they passed. In fact, I think all the churches in the New Testament that we read about, they faced persecution and trouble, and they passed. They remained strong, and they remained faithful. We can think we have strong faith. Peter and the disciples all thought they had strong faith. But when the time of testing came, well, they ran away. They realized it was not as strong as they thought it was. And times of testing come to us all. Life is not easy. Bad things happen to good people. Just because we're Christians, we're not immune. And Satan will try to get us to focus on the circumstances and those difficulties and to sow doubt. And maybe from time to time, maybe we do wobble. Even Abraham wobbled, you know, and waver at times. But then we come back to Him and His Word, and we declare, my trust in You. I mean, what an amazing testimony Maria is. The funeral was the best funeral I've ever been to, if you can have a good funeral. It was so full of faith and trust in God. Of course, there was tears and there was grieving because she'd lost a husband and others a dad, and we'd lost a friend. But she was not moved. She remains strong in her faith. That's a mature Christian. That's a good testimony. We may not understand why these things happen, but with Maria, in that case, we choose to worship Him for who He is, despite our situation. It's easy to worship when everything's going well. It's easy to worship when the money's coming in and our body is healthy and there's no difficulties and challenges and problems we're facing. Everything's wonderful. It's more challenging when things are going in the opposite direction. But those with strong faith stand on the Word and come back to Him. When our friends in Sweden lost their 26-year-old daughter, I was so struck that Lennart said, the father, he didn't even have to ask God why. There actually could be no answer for him that would satisfy, but his faith was in God. And in his brokenness and despair, in his confusion and tears, he simply trusted Papa God. A strong faith. I don't know how you pronounce his name, but when Chris Quilala and his wife knew their unborn baby was unwell from Bethel Church, they prayed. The church prayed and believed God for a miracle, but the little boy was stillborn. And though they prayed for resurrection, the little son was with the Lord. And in his grief and disappointment, Chris Quilala, he penned the song, God of Miracles. I believe in you. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. That's strong faith. He didn't see the miracle he hoped for, but he's declaring, nothing has changed. My trust is in you. You are still the God of miracles. You're still the God that brings resurrection. You're still the God that brings the dead to life. You could have raised my little boy. And I don't know why, but you choose to take him, but I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Church, this is strong faith. This is the faith we need to stand on, the Word of God. And when you find God in the dark places and realize he's still there for you, then our faith in him becomes even stronger. Here are some words which I think express strong faith too. He's my Father. I do not wonder if his plans for me are good, if he'll come through like he should, because he is provision and enough wisdom to usher in my brightest days, to turn my mourning into praise. That's strong faith. How can the author be so confident? Because her faith in God is so strong. It may look like things are going in the opposite direction, but she's confident his plans are always good. And he will come through like he should. It doesn't always happen the way we think it should happen or when we think it should happen. But her confidence is in the God that she loves and trusts, because she knows the Word of God says all these good things about her father. And do you know what my guess is? She struggled with identity in the past. My guess is she's faced issues many of us face, but she's come through. And she's been able to write such a song because of her faith and confidence in him. She goes on, I am who he says I am. He is who he says he is. I'm defined by all his promises, not what other people say, not what my mother told me, not what my friends might think. Shaped by every word he says. I'm no victim. I'm no orphan. I'm the son. I'm a daughter of God. You picking the message up, church? Strong faith. This is what we live by. This is where our feet are firm, placedly on that rock. Placed firmly on that rock of truth. I may not always feel that way, but when the storms come, and Jesus promises they will, it's only those who have strong faith and who've built their lives on that rock who are going to be able to stand. Who knows what Brexit's going to hold for the UK? It seems an absolute shambles and a mess. Why did we ever start the process, some of you might be thinking? Who knows what the future is? I'm not looking to the government. I'm not looking to Europe. I'm not looking to our sovereign nation. My feet are standing on the rock of Jesus Christ. And if the country goes downhill, the church will shine brightly, because we are built on strong faith, on the Word of God. Amen? Amen. But let's pray for the Prime Minister all the same. Amen. So whatever we're going through, I want to say, church, draw your strength from him. Don't hide away. That's what the default, isn't it? Life's difficult. I'm going to go into my little cave. I may pray, but I don't want to see anybody else. That's the worst thing that we can be doing. Draw your encouragement from him. Draw from the family of God and focus on him. That's why we need each other. That's why cells are important, cell groups. That's why our church gatherings are important. They help strengthen our faith. But the other area Paul mentions was this, their love. Not for God specifically, but their love for each other. But of course, our love for each other shows how much we love God. Did you know that? In fact, John, the Apostle John, he says, how can you say you love God if you don't love each other? Don't believe people who say they love God but not his church. They're liars. That's what the Bible says, by the way. John says that it's impossible. Sure, God is wonderful and perfect, and we're not. But when your life has been touched by God, you love what he loves, and he loves his church. Love for each other is a powerful witness. In fact, Jesus said it's by our love for each other that the world will know we are his disciples. The church, it seems, was known in Ephesus for their love for each other, but not just their own church, the church everywhere. And that should be us too. Yes, we need to be joined to a local expression of church, such as LifeSpring, and to love each other. But we also love those down the road in Providence Chapel and up the road at Argyle and over the road in Greyfriars and round the corner at Carey. You know, they do things differently, but they're our brothers and sisters too. We're all part of the same family. We need to love and respect our, and the Salvation Army, you know, they're the local guys. We just need to love and respect those who are around us. John tells us this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And I just wonder if Paul was to come to Reading and just wander through LifeSpring Church. I was wondering what he'd say about the Holy Spirit the other day, wasn't I? But this time I'm wondering, would he notice our love for each other? Would he think, wow, look how they lay down their lives. Look how they serve. Are we prepared to put ourselves out? Are we prepared to serve when it's inconvenient? To give money, to give time, to give resources sacrificially? It's easy to give money if we've got a lot. Well, it's not, but because money likes to hold on to everything. But if we've got a lot, it's easier than if we haven't got so much. If we've got a lot of spare time in quote, you know, we can give it. But actually, it's those which are busy. It's like, but we're putting the value in, I want the Lord to have my time. I will make time for him, for his church, for his call on my life. What about looking out for each other? How do we care? Jesus showed us there's a price to pay to really express love. And this church in Ephesus were commended for their love for each other. I think we've got a little way to go. It's so easy to be consumer Christians. We come, we receive, and we go. Jesus says you're more blessed if you actually give as well. You're blessed if you've been stewarding on the doors today. You're blessed if you've been serving refreshments. You're blessed if you were setting up the chairs and getting the building ready. Because as we give, we receive as well. It's an expression of love. So Paul was thankful for their witness, their strong faith in the Lord, and their love for each other. Both are important. Let's move on. He goes on, I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe, This is the same power, same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul, this is an amazing prayer, praying for the church. If you don't know what to pray for LifeSpring, pray this prayer. If you don't know what to pray for yourself or your family, pray this prayer. It's a good prayer. Paul keeps asking. He didn't just pray it once. He keeps asking God to release spiritual wisdom and revelation for three reasons, even to this charismatic and powerful church. You see, there's always more. We must never settle. We must never think we've arrived. Whatever our experience, it's only a foretaste of what's to come. John read last week about the Holy Spirit being given, being sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Greek talks about it like a pledge. It's like an engagement ring. It's like, well, this is a promise of what is to come. This isn't the full thing. But you can taste of the powers to come. There's always more, so we need to keep asking. LifeSpring, we need spiritual wisdom and revelation too. Too easy to operate from logic and carnal thinking and yeah, Solomon says, don't lean on your own understanding. But I find it so easily becomes my default. We need to pray that the eyes of our heart are opened, that heaven's revelation breaks through, to know God intimately, to know the hope of our calling, to experience the power of God. And I'm not sure I've fully grasped any of those yet. So guess what? I'm still praying. More revelation, more spiritual wisdom. Not just to know him, or not just to know about him, but to know him. It's about knowing his heart, his love, his will for my life and for us together. It's about relationship and communion with the Father through the Holy Spirit. Yeah? I can tell you lots about God. Maybe you can tell me lots about God, but do you know him? Then to know the hope of our calling, not just to get to heaven, but to get heaven down here. Did you know that's God's plan for us? We looked at the kingdom of God, didn't we? It's not just pie in the sky when we die. It's heaven breaking in now, into our lives, into this earth, into the offices and the schools and the universities, wherever we are. The church is here for a purpose. We need to pray that the eyes of our heart will be open to realize he's got a role for me too. I've got a part to play. That's what Paul's praying. Give them that understanding, to know the hope of their calling. We're all called to be witnesses for Jesus, to make him known. And as we go, Jesus says, make disciples. Everywhere we go, make disciples. Followers of Jesus, discipling the nations. And that includes us all, wherever we are. Let's be intentional. Let the aroma of Christ, which is in us, touch our families, touch our schools, touch our communities. Intentionally, church, releasing the kingdom of God. My favorite description of the kingdom of God, goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Change your office. Change the environment. Be different. Make a difference. Bring him into it. How you speak, how you think, what you say. You probably don't even need to correct or say anything to anybody. They'll just think, doesn't criticize the boss, I've noticed. And in fact, they honor the boss. I never hear them swear. They're always giving me their food, giving it all away. They're generous. We're bringing peace. We're not getting stressed. We're a happy bunch. We're not the most miserable people in the office. We're the happiest person in the office. The Holy Spirit's in here. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And then to experience his mighty power. The same power, Paul says, that raised Jesus from the dead can save you, can change you, can heal you, can deliver you, can set you free. So we need wisdom, spiritual wisdom and revelation. And then Paul goes on to give the basis for this claim. Verse 21. Now he, this is Jesus, is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefits of the church. Isn't that incredible? And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Why can we be so confident with faith? Why can we be so certain about those other aspects which we just mentioned about? It's because Jesus is far above every ruler or power, far above all earthly rulers and leaders, and spiritual rulers and leaders. I love the song, he has no rival, he has no equal. His name is higher than any other name. And Paul reminds us elsewhere the time is coming when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of his Father. Wow. This is the one we live for. This is the one who's just poured love and grace and made us part of his family. All authority is his. God has even put all things under his authority for our benefit. And the center of his attention on earth is the church, which he fills and is made complete by his presence. Paul has such a high view of the church. We need our eyes open too, don't we, to see the spiritual reality of the church of Jesus Christ. I love the way the Message expresses that passage. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. And at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Oh Lord, wisdom, revelation to understand our call, the hope, the inheritance which we receive in you. Can you understand why he's praying that we need our eyes opened? It's not just we go to church on a Sunday. Oh, it's so much more. So much more glorious, so much more amazing, so much more powerful. Hallelujah. And his presence is here in us, in the people of God. So we need to pray. Studu, can you bring your guys up? The church is not a sideshow. It's the main attraction. The church is not on the edge of God's plans and purposes. It's right at the center. So, Life Spring. Let's do this. I'd like to sing that song. This is how we fight. So, Life Spring, be strong in faith. Be strong in faith. Be real. If you wobble, that happens. Just acknowledge it. Lord, I'm feeling weak. Help me with my faith. I'm struggling to believe. But stand on the word and come back to him. Receive from him so that you can be strong. Ask for revelation to know and experience him more, to realize who he's called us to be, to experience more of the mighty power of God to bring change. You know, the greatest miracle is lives being given to Jesus. That's the greatest miracle, out of darkness into light. From death to life. There's lots of other ones, but that's the big one. Ask for revelation to see he is the one with all power and authority, and his presence fills his church. So let's be strong in faith. Let's love God. And let's show that by the way we love each other. And let's win the world for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.